And now, for our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
What's it like? What's it like inside the Madness Maze?
It's different for everyone. I don't know whether the maze is just a machine, or whether it's alive. Or whether it's so advanced that such terms don't apply anymore. Walking through it changes you on every level you have, and adds on some new ones. It's like a wake-up call from God, as though the best part of you had been sleeping all your life, and the maze awakened it.
Why does the maze make some people crazy? Why does it kill people?
I don't know. I saw good people destroyed by the maze, right in front of me. And I never knew why. But I do believe this, that a Deathstalker can make it safely through the maze, all the way to its hidden heart. The rest of you are, of course, free to try, but I can't guarantee your safety or your lives.
You couldn't drag me into that abomination. That thing feels wrong. Unnatural. It should be destroyed. Besides, Reptiloids are perfect already. Everybody knows that.
Saturday turned her back on the maze and stalked as far away from it as she could get in the confined space. Her back radiated disapproval, and her tail lashed angrily back and forth. The others studied the entrance to the maze silently. Jessamine faced it square on, her arms folded tightly. On the one hand, the maze scared the crap out of her, but on the other hand, she felt rather resentful that her safety couldn't be guaranteed just because she wasn't a bloody Deathstalker. That aristocratic bullshit had been thrown out centuries ago. She was every bit as good as Lewis, if not better. She was a star, damn it, a diva. She'd been worshipped and adored. Brett scowled at the maze. Looked at in just the right way, the maze was really nothing more than just another security system to protect a hidden treasure. And Brett had never seen a security system he couldn't get past eventually. Not that he had any intention of going in, of course. He had more sense. Even though it would be the ultimate test of his talents, and the greatest prize he'd ever got his greedy little hands on. He glanced across at Rose, and was immediately worried by the look on her face. She was smiling. Brett had seen that look, that smile, before. In those rare moments when Rose found herself face to face with an enemy she thought might actually give her a real fight, Rose saw the maze as a challenge.
Whoa!
And before any of them could stop her, Rose Constantine darted forward and plunged into the Madness Maze. She disappeared between its metal folds.
Rose!
And before he could stop himself, Brett ran in after her, because he just knew it was all going to go horribly wrong. The maze swallowed them both up without a murmur. Graphic Audio presents Simon R. Green's Deathstalker Return. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Vanessa Benjamin, Sonny Lasky, Corey James, Ken Jackson, Nanette Savard, Bruce Rauscher, Colleen Delaney, M.B. Van Dorn, Chris Rowan, Elliot Dash, Thomas Penny, Tim Carlin, James Lewis, and Mort Shelby. Episode 5,
the terrible truth.
At first, it wasn't too bad. The Madness Maze turned out to be an infinite number of branching, shimmering metal walls leading away in all directions, opening up some ways and closing off others. Brett found it rather disturbing that none of the metal walls showed his reflection, but he made himself concentrate on Rose. There was no sign of her anywhere, even though he'd entered the maze right behind her.
Rose? Rose? Rose!
There was no reply. Brett swallowed hard and set off into the maze. It didn't take him long to decide that he really didn't like being there. The narrow paths were distinctly claustrophobic. It was far too quiet, and he couldn't shake a horrid feeling of being watched by unseen, malevolent eyes. It was cold, bitterly cold, even more so than on the surface. But he knew it wasn't the cold which made him shake uncontrollably. He felt lost and vulnerable, and his skin crawled in anticipation of something he couldn't even name. He knew he wasn't alone in the maze. There was something in there with him, and it wasn't Rose. Scents and sounds came and went before he could properly identify them, and the air moved slowly back and forth, as though the maze itself was breathing. Brett plunged on, almost running now, choosing branching ways at random. His face was wet with sweat, but it never even occurred to him to turn back. He had to find Rose, if only to prove to himself, as well as Silence, that he was a random after all. It suddenly seemed to him that the light was fading away. His hands didn't feel as though they belonged to him anymore. And suddenly, there she was, right ahead of him, lying on the metal floor, curled up into a tight ball, and shuddering violently. Shadows were leaping all around, though there was nothing there to cast them. Brett ran over to Rose and knelt down beside her.
Rose?
Bloody tears ran down her jerking cheeks from squeezed shut eyes. Brett put a hesitant hand on her shoulder, and she turned quickly and hugged him to her, burying her face in his shoulder.
I didn't know. I didn't think it would be like this. I can't stand this, Brett. I can't. Get me out of here. Please, get me out of here.
Brett got her back on her feet, though he still had to bear most of her weight. He looked quickly about him, trying for a glimpse of whatever had unmanned Rose so utterly. But they were only the shadows, growing deeper and darker by the moment. Brett started back down the corridor, back to the entrance.
Brett.
Brett stopped suddenly and looked back over his shoulder. It was no voice he knew, but it knew him. And it promised him things. Things he'd always wanted, even if he'd never known it, till just then. But he would have had to leave Rose, and he couldn't do that. The maze was killing her. So he turned his back on the voice and tenderly half-led, half-carried Rose out of the Madness Maze and back into the waking world. Getting out was a lot easier than getting in, and the two of them soon staggered out of the entrance to the maze.
Oh my God!
Lewis and Jessamine were quickly there to help Brett with Rose, but she wouldn't let him go. In the end, Brett and Rose sat down on the floor together, holding each other like frightened children. Silence watched them, remembering a time from long ago when he had brought Investigator Frost out of the maze in much the same way, and probably for the same reason. Jessamine tried to comfort Rose.
Rose? It's all right.
But she shook her head stubbornly.
Brett. I want Brett.
I'm here, Rose. We're out of the maze. We're safe now.
No. I'll never be safe again.
What happened in there? You were only in there a few moments. Brett didn't have an answer for him. He hugged Rose as tightly as he could, but still he couldn't seem to reach her. Her eyes were glazed over, her face was slack, as though she was fading away. So Brett did the only thing he could, no matter how much it scared him. He reached out with his esp and deliberately re-established the mental bond they'd shared when their minds first touched. Their thoughts slammed together like two sides of the same coin, as though they belonged together and always had. Brett took her pain and shock for his own and bore the weight of it for her where she could not. And she took from him the strength and courage she needed, though he hadn't even known it was there. And if they both found dark places in each other's minds, the darkness was nothing compared to the shared light they generated. Brett Random and Rose Constantine, two wounded souls, healing each other. They finally broke the mental link, dropped back into their own heads, and helped each other onto their feet again. Brett looked at the others and smiled weakly. Rose was her old composed self again.
Don't ask.
I wouldn't dare.
What did the maze do to you?
Rose looked back at the entrance to the maze.
I didn't expect that. It made me feel so small, so limited. Like a caterpillar trapped forever in its cocoon. I couldn't go on, but I couldn't go back. And staying where I was killing me by inches. The maze has no mercy. I would have died in there if Brett hadn't saved me.
How do you feel, Brett?
Lucky to be alive. That place is dangerous. It's full of everything you never wanted to see. It can unmake you, tear up everything you thought you believed in. I won't go back in there. Not for anything.
Jessamine put a hand on Lewis's arm and made him look at her.
You don't have to do this, Lewis. The maze isn't anything like we thought it was. It plays games with people. You can't trust it.
I do have to do this, Jess. This is what it's all been about. Everything we've been through is about getting me here, to this place at this time. Looking at the maze, feels like going home. That's where I belong.
But I don't want you to go in.
Jessamine stared imploringly into eyes that looked like they belonged to someone else.
Lewis, even if by some miracle you do come back alive, you might not be you anymore. Even the legends couldn't disguise how different Owen and the others were after the maze changed them. They were never the same again.
No, they were better. Don't try to stop me, Jess. Be happy for me. This is my duty and my destiny as a Deathstalker. I've always wanted this. The maze will make me into what I have to be, to save humanity, which includes you. And I'd do anything to save you, Jess.
Maybe the new you won't want me anymore.
Lewis smiled, taking both her hands in both of his.
Owen still loved Hazel.
They'd both been through the maze.
Then come in with me.
Jessamine jerked her hands from his.
No! Don't ask that of me, Lewis.
I will stand between you and all harm. And I will tear the maze apart before I let it hurt you.
Only a Deathstalker can safely navigate the maze.
Hell with that. She's with me.
Lewis Deathstalker and Jessamine Flowers entered the Madness Maze together, hand in hand, so they couldn't be separated. The shimmering metal walls came and went before them like the slow waves of an endless sea. The air was bitter cold, and it smelled of roses and iron. They could taste hot leather and spices in their mouths. There was a feeling of clockwork turning with inexorable slowness, of chess pieces moving of their own accord. Lewis and Jessamine wandered through the maze like children in a great primeval forest, overawed by their surroundings, and heading towards something they could feel but not name. And despite all their best intentions, somewhere along the way they took different turnings and went their different ways. Jessamine skipped along, quite cheerful and unafraid, while layers of meaning and significance crystallized in her mind, and she finally understood all manner of things. The maze led her around and around, pushing open doors in her mind and letting air into dusty old closets. And finally, it brought her back to the entrance. Jessamine danced out into the world again. The others looked at her, dumbfounded, and then looked at the entrance to the maze, and it became clear that Lewis wasn't going to follow her out.
What the hell happened to you? And where's Lewis?
I'm fine. And Lewis is where he's supposed to be.
Jessamine smiled widely at Silence.
No wonder you couldn't explain it to us. I feel like someone took my brain and scrubbed it clean of years of accumulated grime. And Lewis is heading for the heart of the maze to get all the answers. I don't think I envy him.
You look different. More you.
Why, thank you, Brett. I feel like I could climb a mountain while singing an aria.
Jessamine looked at Silence.
Is this how it was for you?
It's different for everyone. We all became more than we were, more than human. I only hope you people have better luck.
Lewis strode calmly through the branching corridors of the Madness Maze, never at a loss over which way to go. He knew where he was going. It was like coming home after being away for a long, long time. It was also like walking through a furnace, while the stoked fires burned away his imperfections. There was pain and loss, but he embraced them, as the hot steel accepts the tempering that turns it into a sword blade. Lewis was a warrior born, and now, finally, he understood why. The corridors unfolded before him like the pulsing crenellations of a living brain, like the blossoming of the flower at the heart of the soul, until finally he came to the guarded center of the Madness Maze. Everything stood still, a perfect moment at the heart of the storm. Lewis felt calm and secure, like a small child in his mother's arms. He felt he could have just stood there forever, freed from the demands of need or conscience or ambition. But he was a Deathstalker, and duty and destiny were not his to put aside. He looked slowly about him. He was in a wide, circular space, composed mostly of pure white light. In the exact center of that space stood a great glowing crystal, some 4 feet in diameter. Lewis walked over and looked into it, and inside the crystal, in its warm golden heart, he found a tiny human baby. The babe looked to be about a month old, perfectly formed, his blurred face only hinting at the person he might eventually become. His eyes were closed, and he breathed slowly and calmly, as though he had all the time in the world. One thumb was tucked securely into the slightly pouting mouth.
Well, took you long enough to get here.
Lewis looked up, and wasn't entirely surprised to find the small gray figure of Vaughn standing right beside him. A small gray hand with fingers missing came out of a sleeve and waved briefly at him before disappearing again.
I might have known you'd turn up. Any chance of some straight answers just for a change? Like, who is this baby and what's he doing here?
That is Deathstalker Brat, very old, son of Giles, by someone else's wife. Been here 1,100 years, and never had his nappy changed once. Should get out more, see universe, party hard, but no. Too young. Still being born, really.
I don't suppose there's anyone else around here I could talk to.
Lewis looked thoughtfully at the baby.
He's really been here for 1,100 years. Sleeping at the heart of the maze? Why hasn't he grown up?
Only looks like baby, dummy. What we see is tip of iceberg. Rest is hidden from us. And probably just as well, too.
Speaking of people who aren't all they seem to be, I saw Vaughn's grave at Lacrimae Christi. So who or what are you really?
Ha ha! Good question! Let me just put on someone more comfortable.
The small form fell apart into floating mists, and then reassembled into the familiar, muscular figure of Roland Deathstalker. Lewis stared at the image of his father, who smiled easily back at him.
You're not my father.
No, I'm not. But I thought you might find this image easier to talk to. Vaughn has his uses, but his speech patterns drive me crazy. And he has personal habits you really don't want to hear about. Hopefully this figure will put you more at your ease.
You still haven't answered my question. What are you?
I'm the one with all the answers, boy, so don't get snotty with me. No, I have many names but one nature, many faces but one perspective. And if you find that confusing, think how I feel. I am older than the First Empire, though in rather better shape. I was here when your species were still learning the advantages of standing upright and the joys of beating each other's heads in with big sticks. I created the Madness Maze, working under very specific instructions, and I was here when Owen finally came through the maze looking for answers. He didn't like everything I had to tell him, but unfortunately, I can only deal in the truth. My form may vary, but my programming is inviolable. Yes, I know, I know. What am I? Well, as far as your extremely limited thinking can comprehend, I am an ancient semi-sentient artificial construct left here by the last remnants of a once proud and mighty race as they passed at speed through your galaxy to somewhere hopefully a bit safer.
They met the Terror, didn't they? They were running from the Terror.
Ha ha! Got it in one, Deathstalker. Take a prize from any shelf you like. Well, they were indeed once great and powerful, and vast beyond your understanding. They were still no match for the Terror when it came. Their whole civilization was destroyed. All their worlds and all their works gone to nothing. Only a handful survived, fleeing across the galaxies. They left me here, a living recording, to warn of what was coming and prepare.
What were they like, this other race?
Trust me, you don't want to know. Not unless you're into mental projectile vomiting. Their nature took them in directions your species haven't even developed the concepts for yet. Following their orders, I have struggled to raise as many species as possible to a point where they might conceivably have some chance of standing up against the Terror. Following my programming, I have force-fed them evolution through the Madness Maze, but I can't say it's been particularly successful. A surprisingly large number of species self-destruct spectacularly when forced to confront the true nature of things in general, and the universe in particular. The Grendels missed the point completely, the Ashrai preferred to become gardeners, and I don't even want to talk about Mugmore. Only humanity has shown real potential, and even there it's been a lot of two steps forwards, one step back. Some days, I'd like to take your entire race and give it a good slap around the back of the head.
Can we please get to the point?
Sorry. But it's not often I get the chance to show off. And being the one who knows is so empowering. You see, I'm not actually allowed to do much myself, being essentially just a recording with a fairly strict set of parameters. The best I can do is sort of nudge certain gifted individuals in the right direction. Owen was the best. He was everything I could have hoped for. Someday, he might even have gone face to face with the Terror. But he died, saving humanity from the wrath of the Recreated.
So he is definitely dead. You're sure?
Oh, yes. I saw it happen. But you're going to bring him back.
Where's Jessamine? I just realized she isn't with me. We came in together. Why isn't she here? She's the practical one.
Not everyone gets this far, boy. Most don't even survive the opening gambits. 10,000 eager volunteers came traipsing in here, wanting to be heroes like Owen, and most of them died. The few that crawled out alive probably wish they hadn't. You see, the maze can't help people, can't change them, work its magic on them. Unless they're ready and willing to embrace the change. The ones that died or mutated were so desperate to hang on to their precious limited humanity or their provincial ideas about how the universe really works that they couldn't, wouldn't transcend. Evolution can be a frightening thing when it's thrust upon you. Essentially, they chose madness or death rather than face the scary unknown of post-human existence. It's not the maze's fault. The monsters you saw outside did it to themselves, their fears made manifest in their flesh. They became the personifications of their own guilts and preoccupations.
That's horrible. Will I?
No. You adapted surprisingly quickly. But then, you're a Deathstalker. Your changes are already complete, even if you haven't learned to access them yet.
How did you ever get to meet my father? You look and sound just like him.
Oh, I get around. Really. You'd be surprised. I am a shape-shifting alien, after all. But mostly I'm filling in your father's details from what I see in your mind.
Wait a minute. You can read my mind?
Trust me, Lewis. I have no desire to go rummaging. It's a wonder to me you can find anything in that mess. Now, enough of the small talk. The time has come to restore Owen Deathstalker to the Empire that needs him. And only you can do that.
What really did happen to Owen? I've heard so many stories, so many versions. Did he really die on Mistworld, saving us all through his own sacrifice?
Yes, he really did. Owen never was one to shrink from what was necessary, no matter what it cost him. The maze, together with that incredibly powerful baby there, sent Owen back through time, past the Pale Horizon, and the Recreated followed him. They fought one last battle in the past, in the grimy back streets of Mistport, and Owen won. But he'd used up all his power, and he was stranded there, years away from his own time. And then, well, see for yourself.
Lewis and Roland were suddenly standing in a dead-end square in Mistport. There was snow and dirty, trampled slush everywhere, along with filth and grime. A thick, pervasive fog pearled the air. It should have been bitter cold, but Lewis couldn't feel anything. He slowly realized that he and Roland were pale, misty things themselves, like ghosts from the future.
I haven't even been born yet. Remember, we can't interfere. We can only observe. We're not really here. Look, it begins.
Owen Deathstalker staggered into the dead-end square. His clothes were torn and bloodied, topped with a ragged fur cloak. His face was gaunt and tired, as though he'd been running forever. He looked like death. He stopped and bent over, his lungs heaving for air, and he leaned on his sword to steady himself. He looked like a lion that had been pursued and harried by jackals. Owen's head snapped around, and he straightened up, his sword and gun at the ready. And worn out and exhausted as he was, at that moment, Owen Deathstalker looked every inch the warrior Lewis had heard about his whole life. The animals came spilling into the square. Owen blew a bloody hole in the pack with his disruptor, killing three of them in a moment, and setting fire to the furs of those around them. The animals kept coming anyway. Owen was quickly in and among them, cutting them down with swift strokes of his sword. And still the animals pressed forward, knives and lengths of chain flailing, forcing Owen back, step by step, until there was nowhere left for him to go. His back slammed up against a stone wall, and the animals fell upon him, swamping him with their numbers. Owen swung his sword in short, deadly arcs, defiant to the last. And then one of them ducked under his swing and stabbed him in the side. Then they were all over him. Their knives plunged into his body again and again. Blood fell thickly, staining the filthy snow. Owen's legs gave way, and he slid down the wall. And still they kept at him, pushing each other aside in their eagerness. They kept on stabbing him with their dirty knives, his body shuddering under the impact of so many blows.
No!
Lewis ran forward and cut at the animals with his sword. But they didn't feel it. Owen was sitting in the blood-soaked snow now, his chin resting on his chest, the last of his blood running out of his mouth, along with the last of his breath. Someone stole his sword,
and ran off with it. Lewis fell to his knees.
Olin! No!
And on his knees, in snow he couldn't feel, Lewis watched Owen Deathstalker die. And after he was dead, they stole his boots.
No.
Lewis's sword hung uselessly in his hand.
It's all been for nothing. All of it. He really did die here.
Yes, he did. But the story isn't over yet. Keep watch.
Time speeded up in that squalid little dead-end square. The animal stripped Owen of everything worth stealing. And then they disappeared back into the night. The mists eddied this way and that. Owen lay dead in the bloody snow, his noble body gashed and punctured in many places, and soaked in his own gore.
Here we go, lads.
Ooh, still fresh, too.
And that was how the organ leggers found him. In Mistport, there was always a thriving business in spare parts for transplant surgery in those long-ago days. Body banks were, of course, illegal, but then so were a great many other everyday activities in Mistport. The body snatchers took Owen's body away, and Lewis and Roland followed them, unobserved. The organ legger's warehouse wasn't far. They took Owen's body inside, locking the door carefully behind them. Lewis and Roland ghosted easily through the locked door and watched as Owen's body was dumped into a refrigerated tank to preserve it. Within a few hours, automated blades and saws would render the body down into its component parts, ready for marketing. The body snatchers walked away. Lewis and Roland watched them go. Lewis felt drained, worn out.
And still the story isn't over. When those two gentlemen return, they'll find Owen's body gone. No trace of it will ever turn up anywhere, and no one will ever know what happened to it. It becomes just another of Mistworld's little mysteries. Well, the answer is, you happened. Or, at least you will. Time travel can play merry hell with your tenses.
The scene disappeared. And Lewis and Roland were back in the heart of the madness maze again. Lewis wiped at his face with his sleeve. Roland smiled at him.
You're going back in time, Lewis, courtesy of the maze and the baby, to put right an old wrong. You're going to bring Owen back to life, rescue him from the body bank, and then you and he will be brought back here.
Just like that. The man is dead. They cut him to pieces. Even a regeneration tank couldn't save him now.
Ah, Owen's been through the maze. He's really very hard to kill. All he needs is a nudge from the maze. And you.
Lewis thought about it.
You can send me back? In person this time? Back 200 years?
Time is just another dimension. Just another direction to move in. With enough power behind you, you can go anywhere and anywhen.
And I'll be able to save him? To bring him back to life?
Never underestimate the power of the madness, Maze Boy. I didn't build it to human specifications, so it doesn't have human limitations. We'll send you back to Mistport, past the Pale Horizon, and you'll appear there just as Owen breathes his last. And then you'll do what you have to do, because the maze has already changed you, even if you haven't realized it yet. You will collect Owen's consciousness, or his soul if you prefer, at the moment of his death, and hold it safe within you. Only a maze-altered Deathstalker could do this. You then go to the warehouse, reunite the soul with its body, and it will repair itself. And Owen Deathstalker will live again. When you're done, the maze will bring you back here again. I won't be here. My part in this is over. Which is just as well, because the whole business freaks me out.
Roland smiled suddenly at Lewis.
Say your goodbyes now, Lewis, because you won't be able to later.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, son.
Roland took Lewis in his arms and hugged him briefly.
Never doubt that your father was always very proud of you.
Roland disappeared, leaving Lewis with empty arms and the puzzled feeling that the alien had been trying to tell him something. Then, the light at the heart of the maze changed suddenly. Lewis felt the world shift under him, and he saw a whole new direction he could travel in. He let go of the present and fell back into time. The universe blurred around him, all the colors at once, like running through a rainbow. The colors were vivid, overwhelming, intense, almost beyond bearing. Lewis burst out of the rainbow into the deep, dark sea of space. Planets whirled around him, and he saw the stars turn slowly in their endless dance, the sparks of hope in the long night. Lewis supposed he should be feeling scared or awed, but he was too busy concentrating on where he was going. He was going to save Owen Deathstalker. Lewis materialized in a Mistport back alley. The cold hit him like a fist as all his sensations returned to him. He leaned against a nearby wall to steady himself. Lewis forced himself away from the wall. He lurched unsteadily through mist-choked alleys, following the sounds of battle, and got there just in time to see Owen die again. Lewis hid in the shadows and reached out with his mind almost instinctively, one Deathstalker calling to another. And Owen heard him.
Hazel?
No, Owen. But I'm family.
He gathered Owen's fading mind to him, held it safe while the body died. Then Lewis jumped a little forward in space and time. In a moment, he was back in the gloomy warehouse of the body banks. The place was deserted, the only light radiating from the ranks of refrigerated tanks. He spun around. Two armed guards came rushing towards him, determined to protect their merchandise. Lewis smiled savagely and went to meet them, sword in hand. Lewis hadn't been able to punish the animals who killed Owen, but someone had to pay. Lewis walked over to one particular body bank, swept a layer of frost from the transparent lid with his hand, and looked inside. Owen's dead body stared sightlessly back at him, the death wound still livid. The automated knives and saws hadn't started their work yet. And somehow, it was the easiest thing in the world for Lewis to take the soul that had been entrusted to him and tenderly put it back where it belonged. A blast of light filled the tank, and Lewis staggered back, temporarily dazzled. A fierce light was blazing up through the transparent lid. The steel sides burst apart, and the lid blew up into the air. And Owen Deathstalker rose up out of the ruins of the body bank, like some ancient king rising from his tomb. He stepped regally out of the wreckage, shaking off the last of the frost from his fair skin, disregarding it like the cold of death he'd just escaped. He stood tall and proud, every bit as impressive as Lewis had always known he would be. There weren't even any scars on Owen's body to show where the dozens of wounds had been. He turned his dark gaze on Lewis, who immediately sank to one knee and bowed his head to his revered ancestor.
Welcome back, Lord Deathstalker. I am your kinsman, Lewis, of Viramond, and I have come a very long way to bring you back.
Good for you. Now please get up. I've never liked being knelt to, especially by a kinsman. I don't suppose you brought any spare clothes with you, did you, Lewis? I'm freezing my nuts off here.
Lewis blinked a few times, and then scrambled to his feet. He took a heavy cloak from one of the dead guards and wrapped it around Owen's shoulders.
Thank you. Now, I think you have a lot to tell me, kinsman. Starting very definitely with why I'm not dead after all.
It was the maze. It sent me back through time.
with the power to rescue and restore you.
I should bloody well think so. It was the maze that got me into this mess in the first place, when it stranded me here. You didn't happen to encounter a certain shape-changing alien along the way, did you? Yes, I thought so. This has his fingerprints all over it.
Owen studied Lewis thoughtfully.
Can't say I recognize you, Lewis. Are you kin to David? Never really got to know his branch of the family.
No, Sir Owen.
Lewis hesitated, and then decided to just go with the truth, because he really didn't feel up to breaking it slowly and gently.
David is dead, long dead, and all his line with him. A lot of time has passed since your death, Sir Owen. King Robert and Queen Constance raised a cousin branch to take over as Clan Deathstalker, and my father Roland is its current head.
Just call me Owen, please. How much time has passed since my battle with the Recreated?
Lewis met Owen's gaze squarely.
It's been 200 years, Owen. I am the first to have reached the heart of the Madness Maze in 2 centuries.
Owen didn't flinch, but his lips formed the name Hazel.
Why did the Maze send you back for me after so long?
Because you're needed.
Owen smiled sourly.
That always was the problem. But how can I be needed after so long? Lionstone's dead, Shub had a revelation, and I defeated the Recreated. What's left?
The Terror. The Terror has come to the Empire and threatens the existence of humanity. We've already lost 2 planets to it.
Oh, hell. It's always bloody something, isn't it? Look, can't you handle it? You're a Deathstalker. Why does it always have to be me? I died once for humanity. I shouldn't have to do it again. I need a rest. Dying really takes it out of you, you know?
Lewis looked at Owen uncertainly, taken aback. This querulous, annoyed tone wasn't at all what he'd expected from the Blessed Owen. He fumbled for a reply. Owen saw the look on Lewis's face.
You've been listening to the stories about me, haven't you? Never believe what you see in the docudramas. If I did half the things I'm supposed to have done, I'd need to be 20 men. And I certainly never saw myself as any kind of hero. Just a man who knew his duty. The right man in the right place at the right time. If it hadn't been me, it would have been someone else. Oh, hell. Let's get out of here. I'll do what I can. I always do. 200 years. It'll be interesting to see what you've done in my absence. Maze, I know you're listening. Bring us back. Now.
Power flared up around Owen and Lewis, and time poured past them. And then they were back, at the heart of the Madness Maze. There was no sign of Roland anywhere, or any of the alien's other shapes. Owen walked over and looked at the baby, still sleeping peacefully in the shining crystal.
Oh, looks like I'm not going to be allowed to ask any awkward questions of our shape-changing friend. Oh well, I have no doubt there will be other occasions.
Owen looked sharply at Lewis.
Who's waiting for me out there?
Some new friends. And one old one.
Owen smiled suddenly.
Well, then we'd better not keep them waiting.
They walked out of the maze together, side by side. The corridor still branched and turned, but the way out was always clear. As they neared the entrance, Lewis looked at Owen.
I don't feel any different. I thought I would, once I'd been through the maze.
It's a slow process. Maybe because if it all happened at once, you'd go crazy trying to cope with it. Trust me, you'll start noticing things soon enough.
Lewis and Owen Deathstalker walked out of the Madness Maze, and everyone waiting for them, including John Silence and the Shub Robot, sank to a knee and bowed their heads respectfully.
Is this going to happen all the time now? I never did go in for all that bowing and scraping stuff. Everybody up!
They all got to their feet again. Most of them looked confused. Silence was smiling. The blue steel robot stepped forward, and Owen looked at it with interest.
I represent the AIs of Shub, Lord Deathstalker. No longer your enemy. Now your most trustworthy servant. Welcome back, Owen. We have waited so long for this moment. We have dedicated our life to the service of humanity, in your name. Ask anything of us.
You can start with filling me in on what's happened while I was away.
In the past 200 years, you have become a legend, and much has changed.
Tell me. Tell me everything.
Certainly, Lord Deathstalker. Subsequent to your death...
While Owen listened to the robot describe recent history, Louis and Jessamine moved a little aside to hug each other tightly.
What happened, Jess? You were right there with me when I went in.
The maze separated us. Seems only Deathstalkers are allowed to know the secrets of the maze after all. So I'm expecting you to tell me everything later. Do you feel any different, Louis? I don't feel any different.
Apparently it sneaks up on you. What do you make of Owen?
Well, he certainly looks the part, darling. But he's going to have to brush up on his people skills.
And as the terror approaches, the King's Champion, Finn Durandal, apparently continues his plot to bring about the downfall of the current king, Douglas Campbell.
Owen turned to Silence. Good to see one familiar face, Captain. The years seem to have treated you kindly. What happened to everyone else? What happened to Hazel?
Of all those who went through the maze, only you and I remain. Hazel is missing, presumed dead. She disappeared after the last great battle against the Recreated, when she heard you were dead. No one's seen anything of her since.
Owen nodded slowly. Was it worth it? All we sacrificed? All the good people we lost? Did we buy anything worth having with the precious coin we paid? It seemed everyone heard that, and they all hurried to reassure Owen that there had indeed been a golden age for well over a century, until one good man went bad, and the terror arrived.
It's always something, isn't it?
Owen smiled at Jessamine.
Don't look so impressed, lass. I put my trousers on one leg at a time and keep the toilet seat up just like everyone else. I trust someone is going to supply me with trousers at some point.
I played you in the opera Deathstalker's Lament. And Hazel Dark, too, of course.
There are operas about me now. Oh, maybe I should look into the royalty situation when I get back. Now, who are these other two people, and, this?
Louis introduced Owen to Brett, Rose, and Saturday.
So, a con man, a psycho, and a reptiloid. Oh, well, if I can get used to Ruby Journey, I suppose I can get used to anything.
You knew my ancestors, Jack and Ruby. Can you tell me, what were they really like?
Canny fighters and good friends. I'm glad you're here, Brett. I'm sure you'll make your ancestors proud in the battles to come. Now, let's get out of here. Lead me to your ship, find me some clothes, and we'll start making plans. I'll bang the necessary heads together and put things back in order, because that's what I do. But afterwards, I'm going to find Hazel.
Trust me, Owen. We looked. We looked everywhere.
She isn't dead. I'd know if she was dead.
Shub found him some clothes, and they went to the annex containing the 12 monstrous survivors. Owen stopped while their nature and situation were explained to him. Louis added what he'd learned in the heart of the maze. They'd expected Owen to be appalled, but his white-hot anger surprised them. He strode up and down the aisle, staring into each cell in turn. The 12 survivors watched him silently, in their own way. Louis shrank back a little as Owen turned his cold glare on him.
This is intolerable. They belong in a hospital, not a zoo. I won't have this.
He gestured sharply with one hand, and all the force shields closing off the cells disappeared. Jessamine shrank back against Louis, and Rose grabbed Brett's arm to keep him from bolting. Owen ignored them, concentrating on the 12 survivors as they emerged from their cells for the first time in 200 years. The man and woman who had been joined into one huge insect-like body separated into individuals. The one who had been turned inside out all down one side had finally stopped crying and was trying to smile with its half a mouth. A man who had once moved impossibly quickly slowed to a blur, kneeling before Owen. A man who had torn out his own eyes to keep from seeing now looked at Owen with tears in his new eyes.
An ever-changing shape settled for a while into an ordinary woman, wringing her hands together in joy at seeing Owen. A man who had slept for 200 years woke up and came out of his cell to kneel before Owen. A woman who had smiled endlessly for 200 years sobbed quietly in relief. A great fleshy mass that had once been human threw aside his extra bulk like a shell and came out to kneel in his turn. A woman stopped fading in and out of reality long enough to kneel before Owen. Someone who looked just like Owen came out to kneel before the original. And a man who had done nothing but commit murder for 200 years showed Owen the blood dripping from his hands.
It is over. Please, I want to go home. We all want to go home.
Of course. And you will. None of this is your fault. Go back into the maze, and it will heal you. Because I said so. He gestured with his hand again. And all 12 disappeared. Owen turned to the Shub robot. They'll be back out again in time. Wait here for them.
We will stay and care for them, in your name. Whatever comes back out, all that lives is holy.
The others were looking at each other uncertainly. Even Silence had never seen Owen use his power so casually.
Is it going to be that easy, dealing with the Terror?
Beats the hell out of me. I haven't got a clue to what the Terror is, never mind what to do about it. I think the first thing to do is go and get a good close-up look at it. Maybe that will give me a few ideas.
There was a long, horrified silence, interrupted only when the Hereward's AI came through on all their comm implants.
Sorry to interrupt, gang, but we are all in deep doo-doo. Welcome back, Owen. This is Ozymandias, or at least what's left of him. We really must sit down and have a nice little chat in the future, assuming we have one. At the moment, I'm sorry to have to tell you that what appears to be the whole damned Imperial fleet has just dropped out of hyperspace and assumed orbit around Hayden. It seems Finn isn't taking any chances.
Just like old times, isn't it, Oz?
It was the day of the coronation, and Finn Durandal strode into the Imperial Court as though he already owned it. He was followed by massed marching ranks of Church Militant and Pure Humanity faithful, looking for all the world like a general at the head of an invading army, which, truth be told, wasn't that far from the reality. Officially, with James dead and Douglas disgraced, Finn was being made king by popular acclaim and parliamentary decree. Actually, Finn just said he was going to be king, and everyone else went along. The MPs held a special session in the House and took it in turns to stand up and say, what a good idea. And the people, desperate for a savior to rescue them from all the evils that troubled the Empire, clamored for the earliest possible coronation. There were dissenting voices, but nobody listened to them, or at least no one who mattered. Finn was going to be king, and that was all there was to it. Finn stepped out across the great hall of the court at a good pace, smiling and nodding regally as he progressed down the wide central aisle, separating the crowds of carefully chosen guests. Rank after rank of the finest fanatics stamped after him in perfect lockstep, looking neither to the left nor the right. For them, this was a holy occasion, the anointing of the Chosen One. Both the Church Militant and the Pure Humanity representatives were carefully selected zealots of the First Order, all determined to outdo each other in military precision and presentation. After all, the whole Empire was watching, live. They did make a magnificent sight, bold and bright and utterly intimidating in their crisp dress uniforms, making it clear to everyone where Finn's power base lay. Finn stopped at the base of the raised dais at the end of the hall, bowed to the empty throne, and then turned to smile and wave at the guests and the cameras. He was still wearing his black leather champion's uniform under the traditional cloak of kings. He looked tall and handsome and already impossibly regal. He went to his throne and sat down. The zealots crashed to a halt before the raised dais with one last thunderous about turn, so that they could study the invited guests for any sign of trouble. The zealots were armed. The guests weren't.
by order. Flocks of holographic doves soared through brilliant shafts of light, falling through the gorgeous stained glass windows in the high ceiling. It was tradition and ceremony in the old style, and the sense of occasion was so thick you could have cut it with a knife. The invited guests were unusually quiet, even subdued in their seats, and the dozens of remote cameras bobbing overhead were hard put to find anything interesting to concentrate on. Unseen in their little studios at the back of the court, the commentators were reduced to discussing what people were wearing to fill in time until the ceremony proper began. And Barkley slipped through the heavy black drapes behind the throne and came forward to stand beside Finn. She was wearing a stunning blue and silver gown, expertly cut to show off her fabulous figure to its best advantage, and Anne wore it without grace, as though it belonged to someone else. She looked out over the assembled guests.
Look at them, miserable bastards. Not an honestly cheerful face in the bunch. You'd think we were at a funeral, not a coronation.
Oh, they'll get into the swing of things once the ceremony's underway. These are trying times. You have to allow for a few long faces. They'll all cheer loudly enough once I'm crowned. The guards will see to that.
You should have held James's funeral first, and then had the coronation.
First things first, my dear. The Empire needs a king. And it's not as if James is going to be impatient. Oh, do try to cheer up, Anne. I know you were fond of James, but it's been over a week now. Excessive mourning is unflattering and self-indulgent. Now, smile at the nice people, and I don't want to hear any mention of James again. This is my big day, and I don't want any distractions. In fact, I've given orders to my security people that if there are any distractions, they're to be taken outside and shot.
Looks like everyone's here who should be. All the usual suspects, politicians, businessmen, church elders, and Neumann leaders.
Of course. All the real movers and shakers come to pay me homage. I had to send out some guards to collect a few MPs to make sure they didn't get lost on their way here. But these politicians always get a little sulky when they realize they're on the losing side. I've made a note of certain names for later.
Anne looked at Finn, sitting casually on the throne like he belonged there, and always had.
You finally got what you wanted, Finn. How does it feel?
It feels fine, my dear. But this is only the beginning of what I want.
Anne decided not to follow that for the moment.
You're still wearing your champion's armor. Have you given any thought as to who's going to serve as your new champion?
I shall be king and champion. I see no reason to share my power and authority with anyone else. Besides, there's no one worthy these days.
Anne decided she wasn't going to follow that one either, and so she held her peace and looked out again over the packed court. A healthy-sized gathering it turned out to see Finn's coronation, and there was certainly no lack of media interest, but Anne couldn't help comparing the scene with the glorious celebrations of Douglas's coronation. Such golden days, full of hope and optimism. Today's crowd seemed a much more drab affair, mostly because there were no society people and no celebrities. Finn wouldn't have them. Parasites, he had said dismissively. And perhaps they were, but you could always rely on them to add a touch of color and excitement. It seemed Finn was determined to run an austere court, and of course there were no espers or aliens to add a little charm and strangeness.
Is this what we've come to? Nothing but fanatics and Puritans, and a king who cares for nothing but being king.
The ceremony proper commenced exactly on time, and proceeded with military precision. Everyone was in the right place at the right time, and everyone knew their lines. Fear can be a great motivator. The crowd cheered and clapped in all the right places. The guard saw to that. Joseph Wallace, now official head of the Church Militant, as well as chairman of the Transmutation Board, worked his way through the rituals with efficient, if graceless, thoroughness. He'd gone way overboard on the gold trimmings and face paint, but no one said anything. It was a slightly rushed ceremony, reduced in advance by Finn and Anne to the bare essentials, and they completely dispensed with Owen's traditional warning to the people, on the unanswerable grounds that the terror was already upon them.
By the power invested in me by the one true church, I declare Finn Durendal, His Majesty, King of the Human Empire.
Wallace placed the crown on Finn's head, and everyone cheered. The fanatics made the most noise, of course, along with certain MPs hoping to be noticed by the new king, but in the end, most of the cheers were honest enough. James was dead, Douglas was disgraced, and the Empire needed a king, so why not Finn? He looked the part well enough, and at least no one would ever accuse him of being weak or indecisive. The floating news cameras carried the scene live to every planet in the Empire, and there was much rejoicing. Only remote cameras had been allowed into the court. No actual reporters. Finn had absolutely no intention of answering any awkward questions. He controlled an awful lot of the news media now, directly or indirectly, but you never could tell what a reporter might suddenly get it into his head to ask. A few had tried to sneak in anyway, and had been very thoroughly thrown out. All except for Demon Girl reporter Nina Malapert, who was there as the guest of the Paragon Emma Steele. Nina got away with it because absolutely nobody wanted to risk upsetting Emma Steele. No other Paragons were present, not even Finn's close personal friend, Stuart Lennox of Viramond. Paragons were not popular at present for a variety of reasons, including what had just happened with Clan Deathstalker on Viramond. King Finn stood up from his throne to make his first official speech, and had put a lot of work into it, and Finn made it all sound suitably spontaneous.
My people, I am unspeakably honored and humbled by the
speech was short and to the point, mostly vague but emphatic promises of better times ahead for everyone, and the announcement of Douglas Campbell's forthcoming trial for treason, sedition, murder, and royal fratricide. There were some murmurs at that, quickly glared into silence by the watching guards.
Put a tragic past behind us, and embrace the hope of a new day for humanity.
Everyone cheered at the end of the speech. King Finn smiled and waved, and then disappeared behind the hanging black drapes, and everyone went home. There was no official party this time. Finn wasn't a party person.